So I'm glad that you're here this morning, and I wanted to invite you, if I could, to 1 Samuel chapter 17, a passage of Scripture that we're all very familiar with. And so I'm in a very peculiar place this morning. I generally am not this ill-prepared, and so you'll have to help me this morning a little bit. But as of last night, at 8 o'clock last night, I still wasn't sure what I was going to be preaching on, and so that just happens. It's been a busy week, and I had a lot on my heart and my mind, and I wanted to sort of continue a theme that we've been talking about. As you come across difficulties in your life, how many have suffered difficulties in this room? Everybody has. How many have suffered problems? Maybe we might call them Goliaths, and that's the story that we're going to look at today, David and Goliath. And so as you'll bear with me this morning, I would like to take from this passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel 17, and I'm very well aware, consequently, that there is good food outside of these doors. I'm aware of it. I smell it. It's bothering me. You know that I don't eat breakfast. I don't eat before I preach. So I'm especially hungry, and then that doesn't help. So everybody's aware that we have wonderful food and people's hands, wonderful hands that have prepared food for us all. So I'm not going to be long this morning. But I'm encouraged by this passage this morning in the midst of what's been a difficult 2 months in my own personal life. Those that know me very well know that I've been struggling with some difficulties and some different trials, various trials in my own life. And this passage speaks to me a little bit about how it is that we tackle and confront and deal with the Goliath situations in our life. And I don't mean to over-spiritualize this morning, but I love this passage of Scripture. And it's pertinent to us. It's not just a child's story. This is a true story about a real teenager. You know, it occurs to me that we have teenagers in this room. And this was a person, David, who was less than 20 years old, wasn't even allowed to serve in the army. In the army of Israel, you had to be 20 to serve. And so he's not even allowed to serve. And yet, you know the story. There's Goliath, and he's taunting the children of Israel. And this boy who has a heart after God, who's been practicing his skills, whatever small gifts and abilities he's had, he's been doing that in the wilderness faithfully, and nobody's been watching. He's been taking the sling and the rocks and been practicing that little skill set that he had. He's been doing that faithfully for years. Nobody's been watching, but he's been honing in on the gifts and the abilities that God gave him, and he's been doing that as unto the Lord. And who knew that faithfulness of all these years tending to sheep, a menial task. As a matter of fact, I find it interesting. I love studying David, but when the prophet of God was looking for a king, and Jesse, David's father, brought out the sons, and of course didn't bring David out. You remember the story. The prophet said, "Well, I know that there's another one." And Jesse's dad said, "Well, hold on. He's out with the sheep. He's just a shepherd." And this David had even his father speaking into him, "You're not much. You're little. You're just a shepherd, not worthy." not as important as everybody else. He had the card stacked against him, David did. People speaking into his life less than. I find that compelling. I always try to, I thought about that for many, many years, even before we had Micah, and I told myself that as a parent, I would never minimize God's gifts and abilities over my kids. They're not just this. They're God's children, and God has something great for them. God has a capacity for them and gifts and abilities that they may not even know. But God's going to use them if they'll yield to what God wants in their life. So I've been very careful about that. This kid, David, man after God's own heart, even though he's been spoken down on with his family, he's out faithful, taking his gifts and abilities, using them. We find that he apparently knew the secret on how to deal with criticisms, on how to deal with people that were standing against him. He found the secret of how to deal with struggles and difficulties and Goliaths in his life. And I would like to this morning, over the next couple minutes, point out and draw out from this small passage. And we'll begin with verse 41. I'd like to draw out from this passage some truths, some necessary steps in order to deal with the situations in your life that seem so big, and oftentimes we want to run from them, those trials. But God has them there for a reason. We shouldn't run from them. We should confront them, stand strong, deal with things God's way. So before we begin, if you would allow me, I'm going to pray. And we're going to invite God again into this process and very quickly look at God's Word. Lord, we love you today. We're struck by how good you are, the goodness of God today. A God that brings down rain on the just and the unjust. You're a good God. Lord, we're thankful today that we have the ability and the capacity, that we have the time and the freedom right now to study your Word and to see what it has to teach us this morning. I pray that it would be a soothing ointment to hurting people. I pray in Jesus' name that God's word today will speak to us in the very center of who we are, and God, that we'd walk away today emboldened to fight the good fight of faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a great passage. I'm going to read it, and you can follow along with me, and then we'll kind of go back and look at pertinent parts. But then the Philistine, again, David is at this point decided he's going to fight the Philistine despite the fact that the world is saying you can't do it, you're not old enough. If you're a young person in here, again, I want to say this. Many of the things that God has done great, particularly with the children of Israel, but even in history, has been done by young people. You need to understand, David was a teenager, and God used David in a way that no adult would have ever been and was not used. But it does not matter how old you are, you can stand up for God and make an impact in His kingdom, no matter your age. And we need to honor our kids and our teenagers and our young people and pour into that, because not only are they the future, they're the present. They are what God is going to use to bring an impact change in this world. You know how I know that? Because we're not doing the job. So very clearly, adults have dropped the ball. We're not doing what God's called us to, and we're calling young people to do it. We believe that God has a special place for young people that don't have all the baggage that 25-year-olds and 35-year-olds and 45-year-olds and 55-year-olds and 65, 75, 85, 95-year-old baggage people have. And we're calling on God to do something amazing with our children in this church. So this young person, teenager, David, confronts when no adult is willing to stand up and confront it. In fact, when adults are talking down to him and believing that he's not capable. This is the story. Then the Philistine came. They're out on the battlefield. He approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. No different than the way the children of Israel were treating him, by the way. And he was ruddy with a handsome appearance. And the Philistines said to David, Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field. But then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will give you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the armies of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. Then it happened when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead so that he fell on his face to the ground. I don't care how old you are, that story is exciting. I'm as excited about that 41 years old as I was when I was 10, maybe more. I'm probably more excited today than I was I heard that story first time when I was 5 or 6 years old. Do you mean to say that there is a God capable to deliver the children of Israel using such an unlikely person as a teenager with such an unlikely tool as a sling with a stone? And that this kid could stand up in front of what seemed like unbelievable odds stacked against him and would stand up and say, I don't care what you think, I am going to take you down because the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. I'm excited about that story. I'm really excited about that story, and I'm excited about it because I know that with my difficulties and the things that challenge me and the struggles that I have and the Goliaths in my life, I am well aware that if I'm walking with God in the way that God's called me to walk with Him, God will defend me. God will defend me, there's no doubt about it. The battle is not mine. I don't have to take up sticks and arms and go to battle for anything. I don't have to defend my name. God is going to defend me, and the battle is His. I don't have to toil and spin and worry and plan and plot and figure out what strategy I have to use. All I have to do is stand strong and firm and say, the battle is not mine, it's the Lord's. God's got the victory. This is for Him. This is not for me. This is not my name's sake. It's for God's sake. And you have your Goliaths, people that are speaking against you, people that are challenging you, difficulties in your life that are coming upon you, things that are happening in your life that are difficult, the bills, the finances, whatever it is in your world that's difficult today, God has answers. God has answers. And the battle might not be yours. Maybe the battle that you're struggling with is better off giving it to God's hands, confronting it and saying, God, it's here. I don't know what to do with it, but you know what to do with it. I'm just a vessel. I want to point out three things this morning. I think realities that you have to bear in mind as you deal with the challenges in your life, the people speaking into your life that shouldn't be speaking into your life, the difficulties. As you do and you confront these Goliaths in your life, three things I would challenge you to remember. You have to have a reason, that's the big word. You have to have a reason to fight. What in the world do you mean? You have to have a reason to fight. Is everybody aware here that our enemy is not flesh and blood, but God's word says we fight against principalities and powers? We fight against things that we do not see. Is everybody aware here this morning that if you're a child of God, that the enemy and the world are against you? Are you aware of that? The enemy and the world is against you. And the enemy and the world want to discredit you and harm you. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that God's word says that there is an enemy that runs to and fro like a lion seeking whom he may devour? Are you aware that the enemy of your soul wants to destroy you? Sometimes it's through people. Sometimes it's through circumstances. Sometimes it's through armies. But right now, whatever trial you're dealing with, while God may allow it, God is not in charge of it. God allows difficulties, but those difficulties are there because there is an enemy and there is a world system that is against you because you are a child of God. It's not just that people at your job don't like you. It is that there is a system and the world stacked against you. And you are a child of God. And in that world, things are going to come hard against you. And if you're a child of God this morning, what gives you the reason? The reason is this, and we find it. What's the reason that you have to fight? We find it in verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted." If people come against you and you're a child of God, they are not coming against you. They are coming against the God of the universe. If people come against you, they're not coming against you. I say again, if people come against you, circumstances of life come against you, they're not standing against you. They're standing against the God of the universe, because I stand in His name. And you stand in His name. Because you're called by that God as His child. Everybody following that? So when we defend ourselves, when you get into battle posture, it's not for you. You're saying, this battle's not mine. You're taunting the armies of the Lord of hosts. You're taunting the armies of the Lord of hosts. That you misunderstood who you were talking to. I am a child of the Most High God. Maybe you misunderstood. That's the reason why we take up our spiritual fight. This is not for us. We're fighting in Jesus' name. When we take on the world system, when we take on the system in the world that wants to demean us and call us, Christian racist and every other name that they think they can call us to discredit us, they're not speaking against me because I'm a Christian. They're speaking against the God of the universe because I'm called in His name. And that gives me a reason to fight because I have a God that I love. And I'm not defending myself. I'm going to stand with God and allow Him to fight the battle because it's in His name I stand. We have a reason. We have a reason. It's the God of the armies of Israel who you are taunting. Indeed, he goes on to say, the battle is the Lord's. In other words, people aren't picking a fight with you. In other words, this is not against you. This is the Lord's thing. We just happen to be part of His instrument. It's a reason. It's God's name. It's God's cause. It's God's reputation on the line. And we're going to do our part to stand up. The second thing, you need a reason. You need resolve. I generally never preach. If you'll notice, I don't know that how many messages I preach that are alliterated, like with all R's. Hardly ever. I hate that stuff. I'm doing it today. It just was fun. Resolve. You have a reason. And you have resolve. Resolve, I mean, a faith in God. You have a faith in God. I'm not going to back down. I believe that God is with me. I'm not going to back down. I'm at school. People are making fun of me because I'm a Christian. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to be shamed into shutting up. You're not going to make me feel bad for being a Christian. You're not going to guilt me into not using Jesus' name. You're not going to tell me I can't bring a Bible in here and talk about Jesus. It's a free country. I'm going to have resolve and faith that God is with me. I'm going to stand up. There seems to be a correlation between what we believe and how willing we are to act on our beliefs. There are people that believe. There are people that believe in Jesus, but we're talking about in Sunday school class this morning. People that believe in Jesus, and the illustration was brought up. Lucas taught. The illustration was brought up. What if somebody came in here and with a gun and started killing everybody? How many? And you know, basically, if you're a Christian in here, then I'm going to kill you. How many people would leave the room? Well, this was asked in Sunday school, and I think that's an interesting query. It's an interesting question. I would like to think that I would be here, but I have to be honest. That, and maybe if you're honest enough with yourself, you'll say that maybe some of us might say, you know, I've got kids to take care of. I've got family to take care of. I've got things that I can do. There have been many a great people in our faith that are written in the history books in our Christian faith that faced with death, denied Jesus, but then came back and repented and did amazing things for God. And then there are people that died at the stake. And I just wonder if that happened, how many of us, our belief would be enough to take us not just from belief, but to deep action. Some people believe in Jesus, but belief, you know, it seems to be a correlation. The more you actually believe, like really believe, the more you're actually willing to act out what you believe. It seems like people that don't do much for God, aren't really active for God, they believe, but that belief is very superficial. There's a correlation between the depth of what we really say we believe, how much we really believe it, and what we do. Does that make sense? Yeah, there's no doubt about it. As we come to faith in Jesus and we stand before Goliath, we're tested. How much do I actually believe what I'm saying? I'm reminded of the story of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bow before the Nebuchadnezzar, the big altar, the big statue. But they don't bow. They're given an opportunity in front of the fiery furnace. Remember the story. So one last chance. You're going to renounce God. You're going to bow before this idol, or we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And they say something, I think, quite interesting. They say, my God will, this is what they say, my God will deliver us from your hand, but if not, we still won't bow. Isn't that interesting? My God will deliver us. Bold, man. God's going to deliver us. But if not, we're still not going to bow. You know, I don't know how this situation in your life is going to play out. And I don't know how the situations in my life are going to play out. And I'm saying, God, I believe you're going to deliver me. You're going to deliver me. But listen, but if not, I'm still going to honor God. I'm going to still do what God's asked me to do. I have faith. I believe God's going to do something. But sometimes my faith is limited. I have resolve, but sometimes my resolve is limited. But no matter what, whether or not God does it or doesn't do it, whether or not He saves me or doesn't, I'm still going to honor God. Resolve. Resolve, not based on what we think God is going to do. Resolve, not about what God's going to do, but what I'm going to do. I'm going to honor God. And if He comes through for me, He comes through. If He doesn't, He doesn't. I'm still going to honor God. I'm persecuted in school. People are making fun of me. I'm persecuted at work. People are making fun of me. They're trying to get me. I remember when Kelly was for her first job. And I'll never forget that she tells the story better than I do. But her first job when we lived in West Virginia and we were in ministry, and she worked for psychology degree. So she worked for this company dealing with case management. And all the people in there knew she was a pastor's wife, young pastor's wife. And she tells the story that all those women cursed like a sailor in the office. And just ungodly work environment. And they would prod her. And one lady at one point said, my goal is to hear you curse one time. That was their goal. They just wanted to see her mess up. They just wanted to see if the pastor's wife would say anything. And I'm so proud of Kelly. She never lost her testimony in that work environment. And she was bold, and she was a strong Christian in that work environment. And bring it on. If you're going to persecute me, you're going to try to make fun of me, that's fine. I'm still going to honor God. Oh, I look different. I look different at school, and people make fun of me because Christians don't act, because everybody's doing this, and I'm not. That's fine. People make fun of you. I'm still going to honor God. There's tribulation, trials in your life. We're still going to honor God. If this church grows to 10,000 people, we're going to honor God. If this church is left and it's just Kelly and I, we're still going to honor God. Resolve. Resolve. Don't we need more resolve? We need to stand up for what we believe. If we're resolute, then we're going to be faithful. If we're resolute, we're going to do all that God's asked us to do. We need a reason. We need resolve. And number three, this one's simple. We need a resource. We need a resource. And David, verse 49, put his hand into his bag and took from it a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. A resource, a resource. Ordinary David, ordinary tool, not much to speak of, a rock and a sling, ordinary situation, extraordinary God. Ordinary people with ordinary talents, maybe less than ordinary talents, with an extraordinary God, that's an amazing story. I don't have much to offer God. Do you have more than a rock and a sling? I don't have much to offer God. I'm just a kid. Do you have more than the capacity to twirl a rope around and hope to goodness sake that this thing does something? Well, I don't have your gifts and talents. There aren't many people. Okay, newsflash. There aren't many people as talented as I am. I get it. Extraordinary talent displayed every Sunday. I get it. You know, I'm. You can believe this about me. There are things that I'm confident about, but I'm a very not confident kind of person. Everybody in here has gifts and abilities that God has given you. And they're special and they're tailor-made just for you to accomplish something great for God. And you can squander it and think little of it and not do anything. It's the joy of my life this morning. I was up here singing and it occurred to me, and Mike has played before, but it occurred to me, maybe for the first time. I know that we were doing it before, but I'm up here and I'm thinking, you know what? My family is leading worship in this church. I've got Mike over here. I've got Kelly over here. Chloe's learning to play the clarinet. One of these days, we'll all be up here. There's no question about it. And that little talent that a 14-year-old has to play the drums, and he didn't have to pick up that talent, but he picked up that talent, got it, not from me. We're not extraordinarily talented people. Instrumentally, he's more gifted than we are, to be honest. But he's picking up the instrument and saying, I'm going to serve God with it. I'm going to serve God. It could be a small little thing. It doesn't even have to be something like that, because sometimes your talent can be so insignificant that nobody notices, and it's honed in the wilderness against a bear. It's a piece of leather with a rock, and you're just honing that skill. You don't know, but you're just honoring God with the little skill that you have to defend the sheep with this little skill, and you're honing that skill. And then God uses it miraculously, something that everybody thought was a silly skill. But God used it. God has gifts and abilities for everybody in this room. Extraordinary God, very ordinary people. You have a resource. You have a gift and ability. Find that gift and ability that God gave you. Hone it and use it for the kingdom of God. So I can't use it for... Then just work on it. Just use it. Use it. Build it. Grow it. Honor God with it. Some people have gifts and abilities and they don't come to church to use them. God gave you gifts and abilities for the body of Christ. God gave you gifts and abilities to use in His church, and you're withholding that gift and the ability from being used of God because you're not faithful. Can you love? Can I love you enough to be honest? You're withholding your gifts and abilities, and what happens when God gives things and you don't use it? Eventually, He starts taking it back. Take your gifts and abilities and use them for God. You can use them for yourself. You can use them for your own namesake. Or you can use them for God. You can chisel away at building it for yourself. Or you can use it for God and see what God does. How do you defeat Goliaths in your life? With your skills, with your abilities, understanding that you have resources and abilities for God to use, and if you let Him do it, God will use you and your gifts and abilities to fight your own battles. Ordinary people, ordinary gifts, extraordinary God. Sometimes I made a note in my Bible. Sometimes we feel as though we have enough. Like we have, like our own strength is good enough. Some people are the opposite. They feel very prideful about their gifts and their abilities. I feel like actually in our church we have an inadequacy problem. See, the thing is, the more inadequate we feel, the better off we are. The more inadequate we feel, the more we say, God, I can't do this. I don't have much. I need You to use what You've given me and make it extraordinary. So pride's the other problem. Imagine if David would come and said, man, I'm slick with the rock and the sling. You think God would have honored that? I'm the best rock thrower in the county. You know, it helps to be inadequate. It helps to be the underdog. Because then we're saying, God, I can't do it. I've got some things that You can use through me. But without Your help, this ain't going anywhere. So He's taking this sling and everything. He's using His gifts and abilities. He puts it in the air, and the rest is up to God. God somehow guides this bad boy. You know, God takes that rock, puts it exactly where it's going to kill this Goliath. Do you think that was just David's skill? I personally don't. I think God used David, and he had all his gifts and abilities and all that, and he's ready to go. But at some point, God takes over. At some point, God miraculously says, I got a hold of that rock. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Just rest in My plan. Just rest in what I'm doing. I'll guide this rock right where it needs to go. I'd love to have been there. Rock hits the giant. He falls. David gets a sword. Can't even pick it up. He's so tiny. Picks up, finally gets the sword up, cuts the head of this giant. I want to close with this idea, this notion is we have a resource, we have a resolve, we have a reason. We need victories in our life. Do you agree? I don't like living a life where with very little victories. I kind of am ready for a season of victory in my life. For you, we need victories. I sound like a politician. We need victories. We need success. Imagine if David would have been, frankly, complacent with him killing the lion and the bear. But when Goliath came to the front, he said, you know, I fought my battles. This one's not mine. I've killed, I've done this, I've done that, I've succeeded. We've seen great things, but there's not much better ahead for me. Imagine if he had not fought that battle. The best victory he would have ever had would have never happened if he'd have been complacent about the victories that he did have. There are battles ahead. Let's not kid ourselves. There are battles ahead for our church. There are spiritual battles that need to be fought. There are things moving forward that need to happen. God wants to move this ball forward and accomplish great things because there's a world that's lost and dying out here. And who's going to reach these people if not the people in this room? We've got battles to fight. We're not cutting out because the getting's tough. We're not leaving because it's hard. We're not leaving because there are challenges to face. We are here and we have a Goliath and we're going to face it. We're going to challenge Goliath in Jesus' name. Amen. We're not cutting out. We're not leaving. We're not going to throw in the towel and say, no, we've had successes, but now it's difficult. I'm out. We're going to challenge the Goliaths when they come. However they come, wherever they come, we're going to be united and say, we're facing our challenges. We're facing our challenges. We're facing the challenges that God has in front of us. You have difficulties today, challenges in your life. I'd encourage you, find a reason, get the resource. Remember that God will give you resolve and resource with your gifts and talents to fight the battles ahead of you. We're going to do it in Jesus' name. God is good. God is good. He has victory ahead of you. But what it'll take is a reason, a resolve. Right? It's going to take you saying, I'm going to do what God's calling me to do, no matter the cost. No matter the cost.